This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Deschera. We hope you all had a happy holidays, a happy new year. We are live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia. And Brooke, the Flyers, I think everyone's wondering, are they coming back to Earth? Was this rough road trip a sign that maybe they'll be a team that everyone expected them to be? How do you feel about it? Do you see this team considering this a blip on the radar, or could this thing spiral a little bit?
Well, Jordan, I never go into these West Coast road trips at the end of the year enthusiastic or positive, mainly because they have always historically struggled. Can't explain it. Blame Disney on Ice. I'm just kidding. but it's really interesting that, and it's funny because last season was one of their historically better West Coast swings, and every single other game last year was less than ideal. Mm-hmm. So do I think that this is like dire? This is the team that we expected? No. I think like I fully went into this being like, yeah, I think that they're not going to come back. Pretty happy about how this trip was. There were significant issues that have been going on throughout the whole season that kind of came to light. It's been well apparent that they have been, this team-wide flu has been making its way around. So I personally didn't see a great outcome. And that is what happened.
Yeah, hearing Jim Jackson talk about how the illness has kind of gone through the Flyers locker room.
Right.
He even said it got to the broadcast booth. It sounded like Jim Jackson was battling something a little bit as well. So we hope JJ's okay.
Yeah, feel better, JJ.
Yeah, get home, get some rest. So given they were battling illness and just traveling a ton, I mean, Brooke, they were in Detroit before Christmas. A lot of players flew from Detroit to like their actual homes. Mm-hmm. Then they reconvened in Vancouver, Seattle, Calgary, Edmonton. I mean, it was a lot. And it just looked like they started to get tired, especially in the third period of the Seattle game.
Oh, my gosh. It was like you flicked a switch.
Yeah.
Everything turned off. Every single shift just looked like everybody was exhausted. You can't even explain it otherwise. And it was one of those games where I was like, it's really great that they scored a goal, but it didn't seem like, given how steady Seattle has been, like how they were throughout December leading into the matchup against the Flyers, I was like, I don't think one goal's going to do it. And then, you know, they give up. Excuse me. I'm okay. Also maybe nursing the flu.
Yeah, right? It's going around.
It's going to the media, too. but I was also just fully expecting Seattle to come back and win that game. And it's not a knock on the Flyers. It's just that was the second half of a back-to-back after a huge travel day. When you're swapping time zones, like I get tired when I fly down to Florida for a two-hour flight in the same time zone. Travel just wears you down. So coming, doing the back-to-backs against, granted, like they had a great game against Vancouver, too. I don't want to oversee that. That was a great, well-rounded win, team win from the Flyers. Everybody contributed. Everybody produced. But then I think they just kind of fell from grace a little bit. And the time jump and
Same thing.
Copy. Everything was just, I don't know. I just feel like it was a mix of a bunch of different things that finally came to fruition during the swing. And like you said, come Thursday, it'll be exactly 2 weeks that they've been on the road. So you know, let's just get them home, get them rested, get them back to Wells Fargo Center, and kind of regroup.
I agree. And I think it would have been unfair to expect them to keep just ripping off points after points. They had gone on a pretty good stretch. Going back to November, 8 points in 18 of 22 games going into this stretch here. So, I mean, they had been really good. They had exceeded expectations. I think if there was a time for them to hit a little bit of a wall, it was now. And I thought the Edmonton game was just a perfect storm. I mean, they were tired. They were sick.
I also feel like McDavid. That was more Connor McDavid than the Flyers.
Yeah.
It just didn't help that Connor McDavid is the best player in the league and had a 5-point game.
Yeah.
And the Flyers are at the end of this terrible road trip and everybody is feeling ill. You know, it was just like a, like I said, a perfect storm of just what's going against the Flyers and what's going for the other team. So it is what it is. I really don't think we need to like jump the gun, like explode. But, you know, I look at social media always and people are like, this is what we expected. Yeah. This is the team that we're going to get moving forward. It's time to tank. Be sellers at the deadline. Blah, blah, blah. It's a four game stretch.
Right.
And it's, I feel like there's a significant lens on the Flyers right now, given how tight the Metropolitan Division is as a whole. One bad week, and you're going to drop three or four places in the standings. That's just how it is right now. It's going to be anybody's game, really, for the next couple weeks. You know, there's going to be a handful of teams in the playoff push. I do think the Flyers are going to be one of them. I just think we don't need to overreact for a poor stretch that the Flyers are notoriously known for struggling with.
Yeah, the Disney on Ice trip.
It's curse you, Elsa.
Yeah.
Is Elsa even in this one? I don't even know.
I think so. I thought I saw something with that.
But. Oh, Frozen 2. That's what it was.
There we go.
The first time Frozen 2 was on Disney on Ice.
But also, with the Flyers, I think, what was the point I was going to make? I'm blanking on the point I was going to make.
I don't know. You're too caught up on
Elsa now. Yeah, right?
Sorry.
I do think this is, I remember what I was going to say. I do think this was and is a little bit of a gut check for them. I don't want to say it's easy to exceed expectations in October, November, and December, but there's definitely a lot of less pressure at that portion of the season. John Tortorella even said it last month, and I thought he had a very good point. He's been around, and I think he knows what he's talking about. You don't figure out who your team is until January and February. So I think this now is when we're going to start realizing who the Flyers exactly are. Were they a team that had a couple of nice, you know, month and a half stretch? Or are they going to make something of this season? Because I think in January, with all the home games they have to take advantage of that. Either they're going to take advantage of it and keep themselves in a really good spot in the race, or they could fall off. I mean, we even saw it last year. They were actually somewhat afloat. They hit February, and they just totally fell off. Exactly.
For those people who are not watching, that was a visual representation of crashing and exploding. I felt the need to explain.
Yes, for people that are not seeing the visual, that's what you did. It was good, too. It was pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So we'll see. I do think it's a very telling time for the Flyers. It'll be up to them to show whether this was a blip on the radar or if it was the start of something bad happening. But I think a good thing, Brooke, in my eyes, was that they were mainly competitive on the trip. A couple of one-goal losses. One was in overtime. The Edmonton game was even a one-goal game going at the third intermission.
Right.
I thought they hung. I don't think they got their, you know, the doors blown off in any of these games, which I thought was good.
Yeah, I do. I feel like they kind of derailed the second half of the Edmonton game. Not that they really had it together, you know, through the first period and a half, but I feel like Carter Hart really kept them in that much longer than they should have been based off of how they were playing. I just felt like it was one of those games where I just felt like they looked intimidated. Like, I just feel like they weren't able to settle, get things situated, and kind of find their stride. And that's not every single player. I think the top line, Travis Konecny, Joel Farabee, Sean Couturier, had a really nice game against Edmonton. It was really everybody else that was kind of just like, okay.
Yeah.
And I also like, I feel bad for the Sanheim for the McDavid's goal. first goal because Sanheim has had such a great season. He has been such a workhorse. And then it just goes to show you that, like, sometimes, like, even when you are a good, sustainable, you know, player that is reliable, sometimes you just can't beat Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
It was just one of those games where you're like, all right, we're playing the best player in the league.
Yeah.
And he's going to show it. And he won the game for Edmonton.
Yeah.
He did. And I wish that, you know, right now the Flyers, I feel like that's the biggest point right now, is that the Flyers don't really have somebody who can step up. And not saying that everybody can have a McDavid on a team by any means, but, you know, the Flyers don't have that right now, is somebody who can be like, yeah, I'm turning this around. I'm getting 2 points out of this night. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is really going to be my biggest point to watch now that we're in the new year, now that we're in January going into February. Who is going to be able to step up? Not saying that Konechny hasn't. I think Konechny is the closest thing that you have to it, but they're just they're lacking that top end, top 10 player in the league, and this is the time of year where that is going to show. So I'm curious to see if, you know, it's a, by committee and a couple players just kind of stick up and stick it out, but if you don't have your best performance from everybody on a night going into, and again, I'm going to use Edmonton as an example, if you don't have everybody ready to go firing at all cylinders against a team like that with a player like McDavid, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was just, you know, that is what it is. But it wasn't like, it wasn't bad. I just think everybody was riding a high of how successful November and the first half of December were.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I really did. And I feel like we're going to get more of that in the new year. It's just, like you said, it was a little gut punch, yeah. Little reality check. Like, all right, what can we do to kind of reestablish ourselves moving forward?
Yeah. Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. Brooke, where did you see some of the issues with this trip? Was it goal scoring? Was it players in particular that you think kind of need to start answering the bell here? Was it defense? Where did you see it?
So, like I said, we've had some glaring issues that have kind of laid a little dormant throughout the stretch of the Flyers, and you kind of overlook it because it's like, oh, they're winning. They're getting points, you know. Let's address it once things kind of, you know, once reality kind of sets in again. And I think this reality set in, so it's time to start discussing some of these more glaring issues. Yes, they scored a power play goal or two. Whoopee. that's great. Power play is still a mess. I am starting to wean off the leeway space for Cam Atkinson and have kind of shifted gears into more of a really concerned about his play. And it stinks because we say it so frequently. Cam Atkinson is such a good guy. He's such a good guy in the locker room. He's great. He's respectful for media. He's somebody that you want to root for. He's so aware that he is struggling, which makes it so difficult to talk about. But when I'm looking at the roster right now, it really stands out in a negative light. And I feel like this road trip kind of push that into the spotlight a little bit more with really like careless penalties that he was given up. The one in Edmonton, it makes you look, you're questioning so much, like, Cam, like, what is going on? I just feel like there's a really significant disconnect. And when Cam is on, he's great. He's a great contributor. It's a great addition to this roster. But I mean, right now I just have a lot of, it's my glaring concern right now when I'm looking at the roster from top to bottom, where it's like, okay, he's not contributing. And now we're seeing some really weird mistakes that you really don't see from a vet of his stature frequently. So I'm concerned. I don't know. What are you feeling? You're nodding. So I'm hoping you're agreeing.
No. I think we've talked about Atkinson's goal drought. I think it's at 22 games. 22 games without a goal for Atkinson, which just seems crazy to think. Yep. But he had talked about trying to impact the game in other ways if he's not scoring goals. And, yeah, if he's committing penalties,
it's impacting the game in a negative way.
Exactly. And I think there's times where people, yeah, they've seen Atkinson. They're saying, like, we don't notice him as much. Or, yeah, he's standing out for the wrong reasons. It is very interesting to see him go through this stretch. I think he's definitely fighting it. As much as he is established and a veteran, I think he's fighting it confidence-wise. And
sure.
He missed the season last year because of the neck injury. So I think he's just searching for answers. Sometimes you think everyone, you know, that has experience well, has an answer, but
yeah.
Maybe he doesn't have one right now. But no, that Brooke, 100%, I think Atkinson struggles without a doubt. Stand out right now, especially when I think they're starting to struggle to score goals as a team.
Yeah.
So when like that happens, you rely on your guys, and the guys are Konechny, they're Atkinson, it's Couturier, it's, you know, maybe Tippett, Ferry. You know, you're looking at the big guns, and Atkinson was a guy that you looked at as maybe like the second best goal scorer on this team, and he's just not doing it right now.
I also feel like a lot of people are heavily comparing the return rate of Couturier and Atkinson, which is not. I wouldn't do that necessarily. They're completely different injuries. They're completely different players. Recovery and everything are completely different experiences for both guys. So the big debate right now is, okay, well, Couturier kind of just hit the ground running, and he had a couple, you know, slow games to start the season. But, you know, five games in, he really just kind of figured things out. And people are still kind of waiting for Atkinson. And I'm like, I wouldn't really compare. It's an apples to oranges situation. But I saw that and I was like, let's not do that. Like, let's not pin these two guys against one another for completely different, you know, injuries, recoveries, you know, adapting back to the games. And Couturier has kind of been like an anomaly in terms of returning and just picking up exactly where he left off without, like, what was it was 22 months without playing, correct?
Yeah.
That's not that's unheard of. It really is. So it's like, let's not compare them. And I think that, like you said, Atkinson's struggles are kind of going beyond the returning to game, like returning to play aspect of things. Like you said, I think it's a big confidence thing as well. And it's just, it's sad. It's kind of sad to see. It's you're frustrated for him because you know what he's capable of. And it just doesn't seem like there is a connection this year. And of course, hoping he figures it out. But right now, it's doing more harm than good for the Flyers. So that's why it's raising a concern. It's definitely, it's power play, and it's Atkinson. Like, those are my top two.
Sure.
Right now.
No, and justifiably so. I mean, I feel like you don't see teams that have like a dead last power play typically win or make playoffs or do real damage. I'm not saying that's where the expectations are now. It's, in my eyes, it's still very much a rebuilding season.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to see them take strides and actually be an interesting team going into the new year. But I just don't think we were all saying it. Like, the power play was going to rear its ugly head, and it has. They're struggling to score goals, and they're now in a little bit of a rough patch here. It just seemed like that was eventually going to catch up to them. It has. And same with Atkinson's goal-scoring drought. Eventually, the team would go through a funk, and he would have to be there, and he hasn't. If there's one silver lining, I think, with Atkinson, we all know, as you mentioned, Brooke, great guy, a pro. I think he's going to be working at it. And I think he just needs to be noticeable. If he's just doing positive things, I think the goals could come for him. But without a doubt, right now, those that drought and the penalties that he took become glaring.
Yeah. And in terms of the power play, it's dead last in the league right now. It's really not good. It's every time it's like, let's opt out of it. Like, we don't need the man advantage. It's not going to do anything for them.
yeah.
I think the
put
only
the penalty
reason,
kill out there.
It's just, let's take away a player. And then if they get scored against, just don't count it.
Right.
Like, let's do that. But I think the reason that the power play hasn't been like glaring, I mean, it's glaring, don't get me wrong, but the penalty kill has really just kind of picked up. So people get excited now when they go on, you know, when they are down a guy, and that's just not that's just not sustainable. I mean, it's great, it's exciting. They almost have as many shorthanded goals as they do power play goals, which is not exciting. It's concerning.
Yeah,
there should be way more power play goals. But I feel like that's kind of created some sort of balance with the special teams, where it's like, okay, the power play isn't figuring things out, but the penalty kill has kind of picked up in the sense and has definitely been a great momentum changer, a shift in energy when it, you know, when it's a tie game, when they're down a goal, and you know they kill off a penalty, and it's just like, all right, let's shift gears. It's great, but like you said, it's catching up to them. You're gonna need the power play to score.
Yeah,
it's just
plain and
you
simple.
Gotta figure it out. And I'm not saying jump up to top 10 in the league. They could be, you know, 15 through 20 in the league. And even just getting that kind of contribution would literally just kind of skyrocket this team into like so much untapped potential. And I'm just like, we're not there yet. We need to shift into a new gear where the power play is somehow working. How we get there, I don't know. That's why I'm not the power play coach. But it's just like, it's kind of baffling how disjointed it looks every single time. Yes, they got a couple goals on the power play the past few games, but it's Zamula from the point. Yeah. You know, he's just trying to get the puck on the net. That's what you're supposed to do when you're running the power play. It's just get the puck deep. One great deflection, great. Whoopee.
Yeah.
We need dangerous opportunities. I can't remember the last time I've watched a power play and I have thought to myself, man, they really should have scored there.
Yeah.
They just skate around for 2 minutes and I'm like, all right, let's just put the guy back on the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so bad.
And I noticed, and we had talked about this, that they have played so many close games, and when a team struggles to score a little bit, like the Flyers do at times, they have stretches where they can't score goals. They play a lot of close games, and when you play a lot of close games, you're susceptible to streaks, good and bad. And I feel like that's coming back to get them a little bit. I thought they were living on the edge a lot, and perhaps that's a byproduct of the team that they are. They're a rebuilding team. They're not going to light up the scoreboards. They're going to bank so much on effort and playing the right way and buying in, all those things that have kept them in close games. But close games tend to swing dramatically, and I thought we saw that on the road trip as well. A team that got tired, a team that does not light up the scoreboard, and it led to some losses. But I think they have a good chance to stabilize when they get home and do something. They have a couple big homestands in January, and I do think the locker room is very good. Cam Atkinson said it. He's been around the league for a long time. He says
you can tell.
One of the best locker rooms
you
he's
can
seen.
Tell.
So they have good people, which I think would give them a good chance to prove that this could be a little bit of a fluke, and that what they did prior to this was not a fluke, that they are making strides.
And it's, like you said, it's a rebuild year, so nobody expected to have any kind of playoff talk at all in January. I mean, it's the beginning of January. We'll check back in at the end of January and see how we feel. But I definitely feel like we're moving into the midway point of the season. And I do feel like they are in that exceed expectations category in, you know, the first stint under the Breer Jones era. I think that that's something that you need to acknowledge, whether you like it or you don't. I am not a pro tank person. I don't want to be actively bad. I don't want to actively lose games to get a better position in the draft. Listen, whatever. I want them to win. I want them to be good. And I think that that is the general consensus for everybody. Like, I was really afraid throughout, you know, the first couple months of the season where I was like, man, like Wells Fargo is empty. But I feel like we've watched them like, draw people back in. And I'm not saying it's sellouts by any means, but it's significantly different. That last game against the Predators at home at Wells Fargo Center compared to opening night at Wells Fargo Center. And I think that it's just because people know that they are a group that fights every single night. They don't wave the white flag. and they do everything that they can to pull out a win or to pull out a point. And fans appreciate that. I feel like that's the majority. You're going to have like that 10-15% that's like, tank. It's not a draft you need to tank this year. Bedard already got drafted. We're not getting Bedard. Let's move forward. Let's not talk about the fact that he's with Chicago.
Yes.
Let's not do that. But just win. They have two picks in first round next year. Let it be.
Yeah.
Let it be. You can package them up and move up in the draft if you need to so desperately next year. Figure it out now.
Yeah. And I thought a main emphasis by people in house for the Flyers this year was they would be more competitive. They would be, in more games, less blowouts. And I think we've seen that. You're looking for positives. I think this team has played hard every night. I can't remember many games where I thought like they didn't play hard or they got blown out. And then also, perhaps it's a low bar, but the last couple of seasons they've gone through 10-game losing streaks, 13-game losing streaks. So far they've lost three in a row. That's their biggest losing streak. They're currently on it. They had one earlier. If they prevent those skids, I think that's a positive. Maybe that's crazy, but if they're preventing these crazy long losing streaks, yeah, that's a positive of a team that's more competitive and not going through those really just like discouraging, disheartening stretches where like you totally lose the fan base. I think that will be the big test here is coming home, stabilizing, and seeing if they can figure it out and kind of balance things out again. Because I'm sure some fans, there are going to be fans out there that are saying, this is the Flyers. This is who we expected. And I think there's going to be some people that are like, hey, listen, that was a tough road trip.
Give them a chance.
Give them a chance.
Right.
Maybe saw it coming. See what happens here. But still need to win fans over. I think that's a big
thing. It's working, though.
Yeah.
I really do. I really there was a whole, debate. Like, okay, new era orange. What a great marketing tool to unleash the whole, new front office. But it's been, I really feel like, a top-to-bottom shift and change in the organization. And it starts with the guys in the front office, and it goes down to the coaches, and it goes down to the players. And I feel like that is the biggest part that so many people are kind of not buying into. Like, they're really believing it because they can sense it, again, top-to-bottom. So it is a new era. I do fully believe, and I know that it's kind of corny to say now, but I didn't think we would be having the conversations that we're having right now about this team, about the current state of them.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a testament to everybody involved that they're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think they're handling it much quicker than anybody had anticipated. So there's going to be little blips and bumps in the road. And this road trip was kind of just a prime example of it. But it doesn't mean that they didn't play hard. They just, certain things caught up to them.
Right.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I think most people will be realistic that that a road trip like that was possible for this team, especially going into the season. If you looked at that road trip, you probably would have thought that could be a tough one. So we'll see where it goes. The Flyers come back home, and they'll try to get things going right and further prove themselves. I think it's a good opportunity for them to further prove themselves and that bounce back from this road trip that they had. Three losses broke on that four-game trip after the holiday break. They have lost five of their last six, but a lot of close games and a chance now to come home on Thursday. First home game in 2 weeks, Brooke.
Whew.
First home game.
A nice
in
little
2 weeks.
Four-game homestand too.
Yeah.
I think that that's much needed by everybody.
Yes.
So, you get redemption. Calgary comes in on Saturday.
Yeah.
Maybe the Flyers can kind of just get a little redemption game.
Yeah.
For them, they've been really great against Pittsburgh this season.
Yeah.
And then, it's kicking things off with Columbus and the Blue Jackets. So maybe they can really just kind of squash the three-game losing streak with Columbus in town.
Yes.
Who knows? But you can catch it all on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Yes, we will have all the games on NBC Sports Philadelphia. We'll have it all covered here on the Flyers Talk podcast. Brooke, thank you so much. Great to see you. Great to chat with you. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru. And a big thank you, Flyers fans, to all of you for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. We were live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and listen. And we cannot wait to talk to you next time.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that.
If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.